Hi everyone, it's Alison Palmer here and the Global Health and Healing Summit. I'm thrilled today I am talking with Carla Atherton. Carla is a yoga instructor. She's the director of the Lotus Health Project and the Healthy Family Formula. She's a functional holistic health educator, producer, avid researcher, podcaster, creative and academic writer, a lecturer, workshop instructor, acreage living, yoga loving, unschooling, mom of three, who specializes in family health. Through her work as the founder and director of the Lotus Health Project, the host and creator of the Children's Health Summit, and the founder and director of the Healthy Family Formula online family healthcare practice, Carla encourages self-awareness, education, and community as ways to empower individuals and families so they can be inspired and empowered to make their lives full of passion, happiness, health, and meaning. And today we are going to be discussing healing our families, healing our world. So welcome, Carla.
Well, oh, thank you so much, Alison. And I am so impressed how well you got through that bio. I need to edit that because it's really hard to read.
It's
so
a tongue twister.
Thank you for having me, Alison. Pardon me?
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, sorry. But good morning, good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm so thrilled you're here. I'm particularly interested because we are looking at healing the family. And even if you don't have children, you know, you come from a family and you have family who, you know, in an extended family, nobody is isolated. So it this affects everybody. I would love to start with a bit of your own journey and to tell if you could share with us what actually got you to the point where you knew that this was your focus for the work that you do.
Okay, well, you know, I guess I could start with our healing crisis, or our not our healing crisis, but our, I guess, health crisis would be more like the word to use at that point. But, you know, I just always kind of been into health, but, you know, all the kind of natural things and, you know, gardening and, you know, looking at my own health. And at one point in my life, I kind of was falling apart quite a bit, and I gained 35 pounds, and I'd never carried any excess weight in my life. And I was like, what is going on? And I had three children. I was one of those moms that thought I could do everything, right? And I could. I mean, it wasn't that I just thought I could do everything. I could do it all. But I didn't realize how much it was taking its toll. And I was, you know, although I thought I was paying attention to health in all kinds of different ways, I was actually ignoring it in other ways as well. So, you know, being kind of too fast and not really listening to my own body and, you know, having these three kids that we were doing all kinds of really great fun stuff, but at the same time just, you know, being caught up in that kind of fast pace, you know, of having those kids at that age, you know, that they were at, where they were very active and, you know, everything going on at the same time. And so, you know, my daughter was diagnosed with a chronic illness, and we just, at that point, everything changed. And I sort of moved more into the field of, you know, advocacy and parents and, you know, how do you help your kids to become more healthy, because, you know, these things can and do happen and they change everything for a family. So I got really, I took my education that I'd had so far and kind of like started specializing in first whole kind of like lifestyle medicine, I guess. So, you know, those kinds of things I started researching really deeply into, and then started to do a lot more, you know, using my psychology background that I had from, you know, way back, and I was using for some of my academic work, and I became really more community-oriented and trying to find answers for my kids. And it's been such a long haul, and I really found my power and empowerment in information and education and actually, you know, not taking no for an answer, which I really don't. and also not just the information, but the community of people that I was starting to find And so what I wanted to do was bring all that together. And so I did the Children's Health Summit, which, you know, was an online sort of like gathering of the minds, you know, of people who were really advocating for functional wellness, for lifestyle medicine, for natural ways to heal, you know, instead of that sort of medicalized model that was kind of like, you know, really teaching us to ignore the symptoms, but really, or cover them up, you know, just kind of quiet them, make us comfortable for the time being. But really, I wanted to know what would heal, what would elevate us, what would make us like, just kind of like get rid of it. I mean, why do we want to keep having headaches? How about we figure out why we're getting headaches and then move on? So, and then with the children, you know, growing up in the society that they grow up in now and our fast pace and our, you know, a lot of us, our kids don't know where their food comes from or how it grows, or, you know, that pickles don't grow in gardens. They actually are from cucumbers that grow in gardens, right? Things like that just are like we just need to reconnect. So my work has been really about connection and information on a lifestyle medicine platform, I suppose. So I have great fun interviewing people and doing that kind of thing, that kind of work. So does that explain everything? I'm sorry, I just went off on a big tangent, Alison.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Very, very interesting. And I think it helps to contextualize, you know, what the work you do arising out of your own interests over a long period. And what really struck me was when you were talking about before this and you put on the weight, your children were young, you put on the weight and you thought you were actually paying attention to your health.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and your lifestyle was taking its toll on you. And what that really emphasized to me, I could so relate to it. I mean, when I had small kids and I was working full time and I would get home, having collected the children on the way back from work, listen to my eldest daughter tell me about her day, inside going, I'm just so tired and stressed. I'd run in the house. I would drop everything. I would run straight to the fridge and I would secretly cram chocolate in my mouth. And so, you know, it's no small thing having children. It is, you know, it's tiring to have children. So
yes,
I really appreciate that you said that it was taking your toll and that you thought you were paying attention to your health. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will relate to that. And I
well,
also
you know,
really...
Too, like... Sorry, Alison?
No, go on.
No, I was just going to say that there are also, too, that... You know, when you're doing that, when you're not really listening, like you're kind of like, okay, you know, I can push through and not just slowing down. It's actually, I mean, my issue, and this isn't everybody's issue, but mine turned out to be gluten. So I had no idea. I actually was discouraged from going down that road. And I would say to everybody listening, don't ever let anyone discourage you from exploring something you think may be an issue for you. Because there's a whole debate about all kinds of different things that we talk about, like, you know, medicine versus natural lifestyle. You know, and there's like, there are all kinds of, you know, well, yeah, nutrition can't do this. It can do that, but it can't do, you know. So, I mean, if you find that there's something that you are ignoring, not even just because of what you believe or what you disbelieve, but, you know, by letting other, negative responses to those ideas, you know, control what you explore, then I just think that don't do it, you know, just, so I looked into gluten. I even have people look at me today and go, yeah. And I know for a fact that I gain weight. I can't stay awake in the afternoon. I got all of my joints are sore. Like I cannot function. My two sizes bigger and because I'm so bloated. So that was my issue. And so when we're looking at our own individual issues and how, and then what we represent and come out into the world, I think that we need to really be listening. And that's what I mean too. It's not even necessarily like ignoring it and taking a pill. I didn't do that. I couldn't take a pill for, you know, my weight gain or anything like that. But I didn't know that I really just needed to, do something about it and listen a bit more carefully. I hope that makes sense anyway.
It absolutely does. You said that you are somebody who doesn't take no for an answer. And this is part of that internal dialogue, isn't it? About listening to your intuition? Is that what you're saying? How do we listen to ourselves?
Let's take the family, because that's what we're here to discuss. Like how, so your question to me, this whole talk is going to be about healing our world by healing our families, right?
Yeah.
So when we have, yes, so we have the family. And so if we are, we as parents know what is best for our families. We collectively know as well. Like, I mean, I was doing some elder care for my grandmother, a few months ago. And really, it was our family who knew. We were in the trenches. We knew what symptoms happened, what things went wrong when this happened. And, you can work with all kinds of people who are brilliant and who can help and guide and, give you information and support and encouragement. But really, it's us as a family that knows what is best for us. Even if we want to ignore it, okay, we'll say, I know that's not the best for me, cramming chocolates into my mouth, and I'm going to crash later anyway, but right now it's going to keep me going. I don't know. Or it tastes good, makes me feel better. Whatever your reasons were, Allison. I mean, and they're all valid. But, but just recognizing that and being true to what you take all the information and being true to what you know is right for your family. So it's more like an idea of individualized care, right? Taking everything into account, saying, okay, well, vitamin D is good for everybody, so I'm going to give it to all my kids, and that's great. But there are some things across the board that are very valuable and valid. But then when you're tweaking and when you're finding out, maybe that doesn't work for me so well, it's all in the listening as to what you can do for your own family. And when everybody is individually empowered, individually joyful, happy, healthy, as much as you can be. I mean, man, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're grouchy, sometimes we fight with the kids, whatever. But if you are fundamentally, you have that foundation, then you come out and you have these children, these relationships, these people who are more secure in their own health, in their own individual autonomy and ability to make those decisions for themselves and make it work for them, that they can go out into the world and help other people do the same, lead by example, just do good things in the world. And that, I think, is where the healing really takes place, is within those families, whatever that family looks like for you, right? Because you said at the beginning of our talk here, Allison, that we have families. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're all parents. It can mean that we are, grandchildren. We're aunts. We are uncles. We're grandfathers. All of those people that make up the family. Yeah.
So what you're saying, it seems to me, is about articulating, opening the space for conversations that are quite honest, well, not quite honest, are very honest about what's really going on for you, what you observe perhaps happening in your family members. Like you might say, I noticed that, you're limping. And somebody said that to me, and I didn't know I was limping. And turned out in the end I had arthritis, but I didn't know at the beginning. So is that the kind of thing that we need to cultivate? Is this make more space for dialogue around what we observe and what we feel?
I think so. And slowing down enough to do that, because often, I'll talk to somebody in my own family, let's say, and it'll be like, okay, why am I feeling like this? Why did I gain all this weight? And it's like the same problem for 10 years, 10 years, and they're like, wow, I don't even want to tell you anymore. But it's because that person hasn't found the right information, and they're not really listening, right? Not to you and to your advice, but really to their own bodies, because there is that wisdom there. Like if you are limping, right, and you didn't notice it, right, but if you are limping, someone else could notice it. Hey, you take that in with a grain of salt, right? Say, okay, I'm limping. Someone says that I am. Am I really? You question that for yourself. then if you say, well, that's valid, now what do I do? And so and then you get all the information about what you could do, and then you decide what it is that you should do according to your own particular needs, your own values, your own systems, your own how your family works. Like, you know, for instance, educating my children, we all have our own ways of doing that. Parenting our children, we all have our own ways of doing that. You know, some of us might say a certain thing to our children that others would never say, and, you know, or, you know, do things. We all do things differently. So it's all about taking that information in and distilling it, right, and putting that own, our own, what would I say, like making that work for ourselves according to our own particular you know, values and life situations. So, yeah, does that make sense, Alison?
It absolutely does. And what you're saying is that we have to really take responsibility for our own health.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And it's not about fault. You know, it's like, okay, well, you get your child is ill, it's because you didn't do X, Y, Z. No, never. But that's what we need to face head on, is that we're not going to feel guilty, because that's a lot of the reason why there's a barrier for family health, is because a lot of us, I mean, I'm going to speak to parents, but again, you know, just make sure that everybody, you know, everyone listening here, just know that I'm speaking to everyone, but parents, you know, can really let guilt take over, and then we can't look at what really the truth is and get the true, find the true solutions, because we're kind of hiding from things that we feel bad about. But we've really got to push, you know, just, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to settle in on guilt. My child got ill, I'm going to feel guilty, and then I don't want to look at the truth. Well, maybe we should look at, you know, we could look at the truth and support each other to do that within our families, within our communities. And then that way we can actually see what we really need to do. Like, you know, then we have this sense of what happened then. Okay, fine. What happened now is the most important, what's happening now. And then we can actually, you know, plan to have goals for the future, for our, you know, family health. And then that's just going to, it's just going to radiate into the world. I mean, really, you know what it's like, right? Birds of a feather. Like, you go out with a certain group of people, and, like, so sometimes those people are the ones that make you just feel like you can fly, you know, where you can just, like, do anything. It's contagious. It really is. So, okay, so, Alison, I'm going to get out of my head. I get out of this whole theorizing. I can do that sometimes. I don't know. Maybe my stints in being at university are kind of encouraged to think that way. But, you know, so in all practicality, okay, so how do we heal our families? Okay, so first is listening. Okay, so we are, and in order to listen to each other, to our bodies, to ourselves, to our intuition, to what we know is right, what we know is not helping us, from every level, from basics, like the body, you know, saying, okay, look, I'm getting a rash, I gotta find out what that's about, all the way to, like, that spiritual, emotional, mental, like, okay, so what am I thinking? Is that thought true, you know? Or how am I feel? What am I lacking in my, you know, spiritual growth? Do I really feel connected to, you know, my own being and the people around me? You know, why is that or why not? So we're listening. We're slowing down. We're, you know, and if you're, like, you know, a family slowing down, you're not going, okay, we got to get out the door, we got to, you know, eat the supper and blah, 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 because we got practice in 10 minutes. You know, that's going to happen. But sometimes even just, like, stopping and looking in that kid in the eye and saying, we're going really fast, aren't we? Yep. Can I check in with you now? Yep. You know, just a little check-in, and then it goes, all the stress is just, it's like, it's not, it's maybe diffused. You kind of, like, transcend it. Even as a busy family, so listening by slowing down, and then information, right? So finding out what it is that you need to do, you know, being open to that, and then, you know, finding the right support in your community and amongst each other, because I think the family is the best source of support. And if that family is sort of like a bit of a mess, really hard. It's really hard because you have to look elsewhere, you know, outside of your family. And it's that family that you really live with day in and day out. And that's, like, those are the most important relationships to keep healthy and strong. And then that all equals empowerment. So an empowered child, an empowered parent, empowered family, again, equals empowered communities and the world. You know, we're talking very broadly, like, you know, very big goals here, Allison. Your goal here with your summit is very big. Let's heal the world. But I'm in. I'm in. And, you know, it's so true what they say, that cliche, you know, start with yourself. It's true. It's just true. You start with yourself, and then it branches out into your family.
Yeah. I wanted to add in a little point on the slowing down thing,
sure.
because you said, you know, it's life that you might be having to eat quickly to get out the door for your practice and everything. I just like to say, let's put it in the calendar, because in business, we know if we don't put it in the calendar, it doesn't happen. Same in life. You know, for me, every evening, my son is, he's now 18, actually. He's in his final year before he goes off to do his own thing. And it's important to me to spend time with him every day talking. And the evening meal is the only time we do that. So I dedicate an hour and a half every evening just for that. And we sit and we talk and we eat together. And nothing is going to encroach on that because it's important.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, yeah, because they're really, I mean, I think that is, you know, for habit forming or, I mean, okay, so we're in our society, right? And it's really hard not to get pulled into that as individuals because everybody's doing it. You know, everybody expects people to be on call and available. You know, everyone has their phones at the table. It's like there's this like frenetic kind of disconnect with our own selves because we're so busy connecting in all these little fragmented ways with everything else in the world. And it's very distracting. It's overwhelming, overstimulating, and it really sucks the life out of people. So that whole going right back to the family, like you're doing with your son, going back to the dinner table, making sure you spend that time, just that time between the two of you, unless there's an emergency and someone's in the hospital, okay, fine, you know, but, you know, really dedicating that time, and that takes effort, which is really interesting because in days gone by, traditional cultures, that was not effortful. That did not take effort. That was something that they did, and that's why I love the idea of lifestyle medicine because, you know, even if right now, and maybe even forever, you might need to schedule that in. And I love that idea because, you know, it actually forces you to put boundaries around your space, your mental health, your family health, your connection with your child. It puts boundaries around that and the rest of the world, the demands of the rest of the world. So I love that you said that. So scheduling can seem a little bit false, according to, you know, I mean, what it should be. It should be easy. It should be, and it could be, but it isn't, right? So we have to recognize that. So I love that you do that. I love, and scheduling that time in, I think is really, really important nowadays when everything is actually overscheduled. But you're scheduling time to not schedule anything else.
Yes.
It's ironic.
I know, yes. And I'm scheduling. That example is ties in even more so with your slowing down because I can eat, if I eat by myself, I can eat very quickly. But
yes.
I've scheduled a long time and you do slow down. And, you know, that's something we can all do is just, okay, schedule longer for each thing that you do so that you're not running to everything.
Yeah. And wouldn't you say that's like it's a training? Because we have been kind of training ourselves and we're getting all these messages coming in from everywhere that we need to be faster, faster the better, more productive. And really, like, you know, I'm sure everybody listening to this knows that, you know, it's become cliche to say we've become human doings, not human beings, right? But it's so true. You know, it's all about what we do and not about how we are, just being people and being with each other. So, you know, with this, the idea of scheduling and making those boundaries, it's just like really making us, again, slow down and listen. It's making us pay attention. It's like when you're on an exercise regime and you're kind of like just starting out and you need to say 10 o'clock every day, I'm doing this. And then it becomes a habit. Then not only it becomes a habit, it becomes a lifestyle choice, and then it becomes something you just have to do. Like, you just like, I am not doing anything else unless I've taken care of myself and I've connected with my children. You know, those things become something that's just second nature, and then it becomes easy because it becomes who you are. It becomes how your family interrelates. It's the way it is at my house. You know, when we go to my house, we just all sit down for a meal and it's fun and we talk and, you know, we slow down and we spend that time doing that. That's when it becomes easy. And then it becomes part of your daily living, right? So, you know, yeah. And I have to say, too, that we need to start with ourselves because it's really difficult to encourage any kind of change like that in anybody else around us until we're actually doing that ourselves, until we're living it and understanding it and it's become part of our own second nature. And we really need to, especially as parents or caregivers or anybody, caring for ourselves, take care of ourselves, and then we lead by example and teach our kids to do the same. And so that's really where you find that there's going to be change out in the world, is with each and every person taking care of themselves. So one thing, I'm going to tell you one tip, okay, that I find that has been really important to help me slow down and to listen and pay attention and get really good and centered before I make any decisions in my day is to be able to meditate and be mindful. And I don't mean we got to be on like a big mountaintop, you know, and some people can do that and some people just want to just make some significant change. And you can, you know, even with like a 5-minute meditation every day. Some people like 10. Some people really need like an hour. I really actually need an hour, although I don't always get it at all. But it depends. I've got a busy mind. Some people are a little, they can take, you know, tap into that bit more. But children and adults, anybody of any age, I've never had anyone tell me that they had no benefit from meditation. Never.
Yeah.
So that is one thing I would highly recommend to help all of this stuff take place.
And for busy people, you know, we started off talking about, you know, what your own experience when your children were young and you were busy. So, and yes, we've talked about scheduling and slowing down. And then to say, okay, let's meditate as well. It's like, even I sometimes meditate and sometimes I say, okay, I don't have time today, I'll do it later or I'll do it tomorrow. And, you know, that's the slippery slope out of it. And I've got the good intentions, but mm-hmm. So it kind of feels like, oh gosh, another thing I have to fit in. So how do we just, you know, tweak how we look at that so that it becomes a form of support rather than an obligation?
You know, I think the best thing is to start small, okay? So it's not like daunting. You're not sitting there going, I need to learn how to do transcendental meditation that you actually have to take courses to do. And, you know, no, find a 5-minute meditation, just even 5 minutes, or even spend 5 minutes sitting and watching your breath. And all you do is think the words, and you don't say it out loud. You think, inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. That's it. Or in, out. Any, you know, or one, and you go over one. And so that's, you're always pulling your mind back from the distractions of what's going to be later and what already happened. Because really, you can't control either one of those things. You can't control either one. You can't control what happened in the past because it's done. And you can't control the future because it's never anything that you actually conceived was going to happen. It is never, you can't plan it. You don't know what's going to happen. So what's the point? You know, so all you do is become stressed out and, you know, worried and, you know, all that stuff. So, and it actually changes your physical body. It changes your brain waves. It changes, you know, your ability to heal. It reduces inflammation. I mean, I could go on and on and on about meditation, but to be practical about it and not feel like it's something you have to fit into your day, it needs to be something that becomes part of your self-care routine, right? So you get up, you brush teeth, right? Everybody brushes their teeth, mostly. you have a shower. You meditate just 5 minutes, and that's taking care of your mental state, your spirit, and makes the rest of the day easier. And so when you start small, you will always see the results. And that's when you can decide whether you want a little more time, you want to dedicate it to it, or if you're good with that. But guaranteed, you will start seeing the results, and then it becomes something that you just want to do. You're like, and actually, then it kind of becomes like, leave me alone. I'm busy doing this. This is what I really want to do right now. 5 minutes in the morning, when or 5 minutes in the evening. You know, I like to just like rub my feet, honestly, for like a few minutes and put a little essential oils on my feet, and you know that, and then spend a lot of time visiting with my daughters. They love to read. My daughters love to read. My son, we touch base. That sort of stuff you want to do, right? So you just do that every day, a little bit. Just start small, and then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes part of your life. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
And then you won't see it that way. You just won't.
Yeah, and I love that you brought in, you know, a lot of the benefits, and I know you said you could talk about that a long time.
Yep. I could.
Yeah. But that tells us that, you know, even the 5 minute meditation can have a tremendous amount of effect upon your health, your well-being, and you don't have to mentally say, okay, well, where is it? Where's the effect of it? It's just going to happen whether you want it to or not. It's going to happen. You just need to start doing the meditation.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. You just have to start. Just 5 minutes. You can find recordings anywhere if you've got monkey mind. You know, like I tend to have. I my brain's very fast. And so sometimes I need someone talking me through it. But if you just like the quiet, then you just find somewhere quiet and just be there. Just be there, you know, being quiet. And same goes for those kids. If you have children willing to try it, don't start too, I don't like to don't people, but don't start too lofty. No, everybody, we're going to do an hour meditation every day. No. Your kids will not like meditating. 5 minutes, a little connection, a little bit with them, a connection with themselves. It's like this stuff should be taught in schools. It should be taught in schools. So it's just part of family, I think, a very essential part of family health, right along with good nutrition, getting good sleep, exercise, you know, and rest. Not just sleep, but rest, you know, creativity, play, joy, all that stuff. It's right up there with all of those things.
Great. Carla, I know that you have something to share with people because you've already shared a lot, but I know you've got a special gift for them. So I know everyone will want to know more how they can help themselves model great health or great beingness for their families, slow down. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I have a couple things I'd love to share with your listeners. And the first one is taking care of the caregiver. I have a whole package that I've created of PDFs that just give a little more, like, you know, we're talking a lot on the broad scale here, and there's not a lot of, but in this package there'll be a lot more explanation and tips as to how to actually make that happen in your life and for your family. And then once you do that, you know, there's also that opportunity to share that with your kids. So I've been working a lot with teenagers these days because my kids are all teenagers now. they're 13, 15, and 18, and those are a whole new set of challenges that I really didn't anticipate all of them, as aware as I thought I was. So I put together another package that's teaching children or teenagers self-care as well. And so I do have a package that I'd love to share with your folks about that. And I've sent you the URL, Allison. So can you share that with your listeners?
Well, it's on, I don't have it in front of me, but it is on the speaker page.
It will be on the page. Great.
Yes, on your section, so on Carla's section, it's there.
Okay, perfect. So let's do that. So click on that. You'll get those two packages, and I really hope that they help you to make these things a reality in your family.
Great. That's wonderful. Okay, so final word for everybody.
Final words. Okay. I think reducing stress, we didn't even really mention stress, but everything we've talked about in this whole interview has been related to stress. High stress just equals unhappy people, unhealthy, unhappy people. So all of these things that we've been talking about to empower people to feel good and to make their own decisions regarding their health and you know, their families, I think, you know, let's just really focus, if we're going to focus anywhere, our efforts to just de-stress. And so I'm talking focus. I don't mean a whole bunch of effort. I just mean paying attention to that issue of stress and how to alleviate it. So, you know, spending time with family, meditation, you know, scheduling time for you, all that stuff, I think, seems so simple, but it is profound what you'll find. So I just think that, taking care of our families and ourselves is really where we need to start.
Fabulous. Great. Thank you. Carla, this has been really wonderful. I know that it's just the tip of the iceberg because, let's face it, our families are quite a big part of our lives and our relationships are all of our lives. So, you know, thank you for coming and sharing this, sharing your story, giving us some really great ideas about where we can start with this, and very practical ideas too. That's been very, very useful. And everybody, don't forget that you can go to the link on the speaker page in Carla's section, and that will take you through to her page where you can get these amazing gifts that she's created for you. So don't forget to do that. And everybody, thank you for joining us today. And Carla, thank you. A big final thank you to you. It's been really wonderful. Thanks.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Alison.